My impression is that you've sort of dabbled in Tekken, but you've never really got into it until recently.
No, I've never touched Tekken.
Okay.
I have done the thing that every Street Fighter and 2D player has done, where you load up Tekken because your mates are playing it,
yeah,
you look at the move list, and you alt F4. I did that for 10 years, basically, of just like, this is not for me. Like, it was just way too daunting. So I just never touched it, even though I was like surrounded by Tekken players at basically every moment of my life. I was just like, where do you even fucking start? So I always got it. Like, I always saw it, and I, you know, played around a little bit, but ultimately it just, the perceived barrier was way too high. And there's a reality of, if you're a 2D player going into 3D, you have to suffer a bit of an ego death.
Yeah. Like, and vice versa too. Absolutely.
Shit.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Sure. That gets harder to do the older you get. When you've been playing for a little while, going, oh, I'm going to be really bad at this game now for like a couple years. It's quite a lot to take on board.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, what was your first couple of days like playing, really getting to Tekken? I mean, was it just like constant losing and just...
No, I think the Tekken has the same thing as every other fighting game, where lower ranks actually do function
right
a lot of the time. You know, when we're like, my friend was learning Strive recently, and they were like a okay ST player back in the day, but stopped playing for, you know, a decade basically. And I'm like, oh, I'll try pick up Strive. And they were having a great time because they're playing at the lower ranks where it actually kind of functions as you're playing against people with your skill.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because Tekken's Tekken's big enough. That's the most important thing, for there to be actual meaningful competition at all levels. You will get smurfs, the occasional smurf, but that's the great thing about an active game, right? In that there is going to be competition for you.
It's the huge difference between when when Virtua Fighter came out on PS4, I was like, I want to try this. And it was like, oh, okay, I'm playing against like veterans. And Tekken, I've kind of been writing this script on like how it's kind of like a reaction video to Tekken. I'm kind of wording it because I've had such a good time. But I was kind of trying to figure out like why it's been such a functional experience, even though it's got such a perceived difficulty. And it was just this realization that difficulty is relative to who you're fighting. And that's kind of simply it.
Yeah.
And if you're playing against someone that's like doing the same string, you can learn how to beat that string pretty quickly. And, you know, if you kind of grew up with not that much training mode in the games you play, you have a bit of an aptitude for like, okay, I'll try punish it. Okay, I'll try duck it. Okay, like, you know, you just run through the motion and you pick up bit by bit. And just having a very simple game plan, because I'm playing Jack, so it's like, I'm just going to do down back one. Like, that's it. I'm just going to do down back one and occasionally do a mid. And that's my game plan, basically, at the moment.
Jack is a great character to start the game with, because he really forces you to learn fundamentals. He's a very fundamentals-focused character, and very simple, but very fundamentals-focused. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he will teach you Tekken.
His offense was simple. That was the thing that was important to me, was I didn't want to focus too heavily on my offensive game, because I don't know if Jack's the character to me, because I'm figuring out what avenue I want to try and excel in Tekken. I don't know whether it's like sidestep and movement and like hard combos, or whether it's just simply chipping away at health. Like, I don't know what character. I'm a very like function based character picker. Like, I want to pick something that highlights what I enjoy in a game.
Right.
And so being able to like focus on defense a little bit more, and just like systems, and not worry about like, oh, I need to do all these setups and all this sort of stuff. It's like, you know, there's a little bit of execution with his like just frame after the forward one.
Ah, yeah, the blue stuff sparks. Like
yeah. And there's like little bits like that, but nothing that I'm having to sit in training mode for.
Yeah.
And I get to do that on the other end, which is defensively.
It's really important, actually, I think, to pick a character when you're starting off Tekken that doesn't give you too much of an initial executional hurdle. And this is the thing, because Mishimas are as popular as they are, and because they do demand good execution And because that's sort of prized and, you know, it's sort of put out there that like, hey, it's all about wave dashing electrics. So many Mishima players, new players, when they start Mishimas, they just focus completely on their execution and the rest of their game is completely behind, which is why, like up to a certain rank, when you see a Mishima player, you're like, ah, this will be an easy match because their defense will be dog shit.
It's so funny. The amount of like, I have an idea of what good execution in Tekken looks like. So I've just watched a bunch of it.
Yeah.
And there will be like, I've been in the trenches for the last couple of months, you know, of the lower ranks. And there will be some crazy Kazuya players just doing the hardest shit ever with amazing movement and all. And then you just like do a bunch of like down back ones and they're like, oh,
what do I do?
What do I do now? And it's so funny.
It really is. Like, it's kind of a joke, right? Like, I remember Phil told me, Dinosaur told me that mediocre Mishima players are just like, whenever you saw them, like, because, you know, when we played on in the arcades, we had these like cards, right? And they had your win percent rate. And you just knew that whenever like a mediocre Mishima player stepped up, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to get a, you know, boosted win percent on this match. They're one of your easiest opponents. And it's a different story at higher levels, because like higher levels Mishimas have legitimately always been really strong characters. Like the only game where Mishimas aren't like, you know, upper mid at least, or one of them's top tier, usually Devil Jin, was Tekken 6. But yeah, there is a bit of a learning curve to them, definitely. And they can push you down the wrong kind of avenue as a new player, which is why whenever someone starts Tekken, I'm just like, hey, you might like the poster boy, the poster boy characters, but you probably shouldn't go for them right now. I wouldn't recommend it. And if you do, try not to focus on the flashy kind of wave dashing shit right now.
So like, I was writing this intro for the script and I was trying to define Tekken, and the only word I could come up with was just dense. Like, the game is so dense. There is so much to do. There is so much to learn. It's fucking terrifying. And it's really easy to get hung up on things that aren't going to be beneficial to you. Like for the first like 2 months, I consciously didn't give a shit about getting off the ground. Like, I didn't think about it. I just held back and hoped for the best. And that was because I knew I was just going to end up in this like weird part of YouTube where I'm listening to like 7 hour long videos on like different tech options. So I was like, fuck that. I need to figure out how to like low parry first, you know? And it's hard because you just don't know the order in which you're meant to learn stuff. You have to kind of figure that out. And I'm lucky because I just play fighting games, so I can kind of guess what the most important things are for me to learn. But for a new player, you just don't know where to start.
I think that, because, 2D and 3D are two different disciplines to a degree, but there are obviously, of course, some, you know, overlapping skills that are present. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing if you didn't have that prior experience in just fighting game expertise or just fighting game knowledge, Tekken would be even more unapproachable, perhaps to the level where like, maybe I wouldn't want to play this. I mean, the point I'm getting to here is, do you think it's too dense or too convoluted? Or
so I have this, I have a fundamental difficulty with this, because that density is actually the reason I like Tekken. So it's really hard, because when I'm talking about Tekken, I want to highlight the density and the advantages and why that's so cool. But also, you realize as you're saying that, you're going like, I'm making this game sound bad. Like, you, it's really difficult, because that is what appeals to me. I think Tekken above every... Okay, we won't go down comparison routes, but it has so many avenues in which you can excel. And historically, this is something I've really appreciated in gaming. Like, my two favorite games outside of fighting games are Quake and StarCraft. And these are two games where you can be good at so many different things that, like, and it can be one specific thing. There's like a player in Quake called Evil, and his whole thing is he has an amazing railgun. That's it. And he's got everything else is like pretty good. Like, you know, it's top level, but not amazing. But his railgun basically breaks the game because he just, you're just like, oh, I timed all the items. I should be at the lead. And he just comes in, hits you once and runs off. And you're like, what the fuck is this? And that to me was always awesome because I was like, wow, this person is a good player, but he's got a way that he's excelled above everyone else. And it's so specific, but it's because of how dense and complex the game is that that was allowed to flourish. And I kind of saw that, and it's why it pushed me to start learning Tekken was, you know, I would be watching matches and people would be like, wow, he's doing a combo and that's not a tournament combo. That's a training mode combo. Or they had like awareness of situations that just like you should not have awareness of. Like you can play for a long time, but it's so specific and they're able to capitalize on it in a way that defines them as a player. And that to me was really fascinating. So it's a really difficult double-edged sword where I would hate to say that it's too complex, but there just needs to be a bit of hand-holding. There needs to be, you know, just having an idea of like, I should learn my like 10 to 15 frame punishes as like a starter. Like, and that will literally get you through and like a little launch punish. And then you can kind of just play the game and figure it out from there. And when you get hit by something, you can be like, why did I get hit by that? And piece it together and just be a bit responsive to the information other players are sort of punishing me for holding back. And I did that in response to a player, not in response to the game having it. But that's because I know to do that. And how do you teach someone that? It's a hard skill to teach.
You know, it's I think you bring up really just one of the main appeals of Tekken, in that you're right in that there are so many ways you can excel in Tekken, and that like people talk about expression in fighting games, and it's sort of a nebulous term. But really, I think one of the reasons I was drawn to Tekken so much, and it's still one of my favorite fighting games, is that I feel like I can express myself because there are so many ways you can approach the game or even your character. Yeah, it can probably be a bit intimidating at first when you're trying to get into it. And I think the main thing that a lot of people have been saying is that instead of reducing that depth, instead of chipping away at it, because there have been patches in the past which have done that, maybe consider creating a roadmap for players. You know, that's the classic thing with fighting games, like make them easier to understand, not easier to play.
Yeah, it's a hard one because we're trying to, if we get into the world of tutorials and roadmaps and stuff, tutorials are often touted as the solution to complex games.
Right.
And I am kind of the belief that that's not true because everyone fucking skips them. Let's not, like, how many people do you think have done Guilty Gear tutorials?
I actually think games need to be designed in a way that makes them clearer to understand. Like, for example, with Tekken, I think block animations, just one element here, block animations could be a bit more visually intuitive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's say a character throws a jab, right? And they block it. And a character throws a downforward one and they block it. Well, visually, that looks the same, except a jab is plus on block. And the down forward one is obviously a bit minus on block, but a new player wouldn't know the difference at all. And the game doesn't indicate that. But maybe if the opponent reeled a bit when they jabbed, like to show that they're in a negative situation, that would, you know, it would intuitively teach you what the game is about. And hey, no tutorial necessary.
Exactly. I think this is one of the things that Guilty Gear has historically done very well,
yeah,
is that its visual language is so clear. Mm. It's got like, you can see the difference between a blue RC and a red RC. They're different fucking colors. You get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, the dust, it's got a big spark to it. There is really obvious visual language here. And Tekken at times can lack it for sure.
Yeah.
Because you just sometimes don't know. Like, I was lucky going into Tekken that I like knew that, you know, your jab is going to be plus. Like, yeah. I know that information. And the amount of times where I've been playing when I just started and I'd be playing and I would just go, wait a second, this guy's really bad. And then just hit jab over and over.
That is one of the best ways. Jabs are one of the best barometers to gauge what kind of opponent you're up against. Just go up to them and just jab, 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 jab. See how they react. Even at high level, like, oh, is this player patient? Is this player just going to sit there? Are they going to try and sidestep? Are they, you know, are they going to do some crazy? Is this going to goat them into doing some kind of crazy stance-based kind of bullshit? It'll tell you so much about your opponent without you putting too much out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a immediate knowledge check for beginners. For anyone that's played for more than a month, they'll know it. But like, if you just that day played, you have to pass that knowledge check to even participate versus someone that knows a little bit. And there's also just like simple things which like just tell me I punish someone would be nice, if I'm honest. Just say punish. It's a real simple change, but it's the amount of times I'm like, did I just punish him or were they mashing? Like, I actually don't know until I train this.
That too. Like, there are some moves which, like, if you block them, you might actually think they're plus, but they're actually punishable. The classic example of this are moves like Heihachi's forward 4-2 or Paul's death fist. If you showed that move to a player and you block it, they think, oh gosh, like, powerful punch. He's reeling back. Like, Paul must be, you know, at an advantage here. This move is broken, does so much damage. Even on block, you have an advantage. Well, it's punishable on block. Yeah, that's the whole point. But that's a way in which Tekken's visual language actually contradicts the game design. You know, it contradicts how you play it. What would Tekken lose if you blocked Paul's death fist? He kind of hunched over a bit to clearly tell you, hey, you can punish this guy now.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more mainstay in every fighting game. Like, you know, Street Fighter now has got moves like, you know, a sweep, which they'll recoil backwards once it's blocked. You know, there's it's very obvious it's punishable. It's a simple change that doesn't affect the flow of the game or anything like that and still functions really highly. Oh, and the good thing here is that Tekken is so deep that by adding these sorts of visual cues, it doesn't actually take anything away, because there are going to be so many situations which you can't rely on visual cues, or you need to like know knowledge, you need to be prepared for it, because some things are just like a little bit minus, but you need to know how to take your turn back. It's not just simply, oh, I press a button now. I think when Tekken players kind of say, oh, we don't really need that, you know, knowledge checks part of the game, which I do massively agree with, I think they're kind of underselling the game in that the knowledge checks are way more complex than just, is it plus or is it minus? They're actually, because it could be like minus, but still a really shit situation for you, and you just haven't realized that.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting, because like being plus one in Tekken is a completely different story from being plus one in Street Fighter. Like, plus one in Tekken isn't really that meaningful, because like, you're always a sidestep away from just, you know, if they try to press that advantage, you can sidestep and launch them. It's only like at plus five or six where advantage really becomes something meaningful that you can capitalize on. And there are like, having a true 50-50 mix-up situation in Tekken is incredibly rare. There are always other options, whether it's a sidestep or a backdash or a parry or, you know, whatever. One that just comes to mind right now is, I think, if Steve hits you with his back 1-2, you're going to this like ballerina spin, and he's left at like plus. A lot of these ballerina spin states that was introduced in Tekken 7, and that is a direct consequence of why Tekken 7 is more overtly mix-up-y. Because there are now more true kind of 50-50 mix-up situations. But there, like, Steve can either go for a mid and potentially launch you, or he can go for a low, his little low peekaboo low jab, and you can't even low parry that because you're at such disadvantage. You either have to, you can't sidestep, you can't parry, it's either block low or block mid. And that's one of the few true like 50-50 situations in the game. But yeah, you generally have so many options in any given situation in Tekken that, yeah, it's not like the knowledge checks are layered. There's a lot to any given situation.
Yeah, they're really infinite, you know, and that's so cool to me. That is, it's awesome that you can define yourself as someone that has a creative response to knowledge checks and is prepared for them. Because the mental stack in Tekken, I think, was one of the most intimidating things that coming into it for me was there's just a lot to be prepared for in any given situation. And, you know, when you talk to Tekken players, they'll tell you about like the rules, you know, there are rules and there are guidelines to certain sort of situations. So you can group them together to get a general understanding of how they function, right? Like you were saying with a plus one situation, you know, you've got advantage, but there are actually lots of options to it. But if you don't know those rules and you can't really expect a new player to know those rules, there is just so much to take in. But it is cool to see that players can be just that person that knows all those rules, that knows all those situations, that knows how to get out of them and interact with them and can react to them so quickly. I don't know where they go with Street Fighter 6, though, because I don't think they can release a bare-bones game like they did Street Fighter 5 again.
Yeah, it wouldn't fly. The competition is too tough now. That applies to whatever Bandai Namco decides to do for Tekken 8 as well. Like the reason why Tekken 7 became as successful as it did was partially due to the fact that Street Fighter 5 kind of flopped. And the limelight was open for the next biggest fighting game, which was Tekken. And Tekken 7 played it pretty safe because Tekken 7 is really still Tekken 5. It's been a very iterative, like it's the opposite of Street Fighter. Every Street Fighter is completely distinct from the other Street Fighter. You know, to its credit, I mean, you know, it's a lot more work building a game from scratch rather than you know, building off your old game. But yeah, Tekken's taken this iterative approach, really. You can even argue since Tekken 3, though Tekken 4 was a bit of its own thing. And that meant that Tekken 7 was, at very least, pretty solid. Though I'll say the initial arcade release in 2015 was hot garbage, but they managed to bag it into shape for the 2017 console.
Isn't that
release.
The Tekken Classic, though? The arcade release is like borderline unplayable due to balance. And then when it comes out on console, everyone's like, oh, this is all right, actually.
It actually wasn't due to balance. Like, I remember when it came out in 2015, it was just the input delay. There was a native, like, 9 frames of input delay. It was higher than Street Fighter V's. It was absolutely absurd. Because at that time, a lot of fighting games were being developed on Unreal Engine 4. And I'm guessing they didn't really know how to optimize their games on it. Same issue happened with Street Fighter V, really, just infamously. But it just felt like I couldn't block Law's Dragon Tales on reaction anymore. And I thought, oh shit, I'm middle-aged now. I'm getting old. I'm too old for fighting games. I should stop.
You got gaslit into thinking you're older than you are. That's fucked up.
Right? And then a few updates later, it's like, oh, I can block it again. Damn you, Rana.
It's one of the funniest things I've learned having, like, now picking up Tekken is how sensitive reactable and not reactable moves are and like where they exist on this like kind of specific numbers, you know, to like what should be reactable and what shouldn't be. And as soon as that gets twisted in any way by like PS5 lag or bad monitors or whatever, it's like, oh cool, this game is an entirely different game now. That's terrifying.
It really is, because it's like, I think there are some characters who are just flat out way better in an online environment or on console relative to PC. Like, good example of this is that traditional wisdom goes that Devilin is the best Mishima. And in a competitive setting, he absolutely is. He's so well-rounded. He's got every tool. He's like the Mishima they've clearly designed for competitive play because he's the golden boy of the series. But any online metrics will show you that Heihachi does the best online. And it's because his down back too, it's supposed to be just reactable. Yeah. And he even makes an audio cue. He goes hashish when he does it, which is supposed to tune you into blocking it. Online, that's not as easy. It's really not as easy. It's borderline impossible. If you have a couple of frames, it goes from hard if you're looking for it, but possible. And if you block it, you kill him, to probably, you're probably not going to do this. And that transforms the character because Heihachi isn't supposed to have good lows. And that's like a design element I question, especially if they're so obstinate about their netcode, right? Like, Law's another good example. Like, I just brought up Dragon Tail, right? Like, that character is not supposed to have a power low. It's his weakness not to have a power low. Yeah. He's supposed to have difficulty making comebacks, which is why they didn't give him a good rage drive. His rage drive is just his Dragon Tail, but blue. So,
yeah.
And, if you block it, you can't, you can't like launch punch it anymore, but he's barely low on health anyway, so it doesn't matter. But whatever, it's the worst rage drive in the game, arguably. But online again, like, there's the meme about 3-bar Law, and it's funny because Law is actually quite hard to play online due to DSS cancels being harder. But Scummy Law becomes he's a threat now. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's always hard to know where online practice in general sits. I remember having this real stark realization when I was like 17. I went to my first like big tournament for ST, and I just played Balrog all the time, right? Yeah. So I'm playing online, playing Balrog. Online Balrog is a menace. Yeah. You can't do anything about low rush. You just have to accept that you're kind of fucked. And then I went to SVB. I can't remember which one it was now. And I played against, I think it was Kunkster, and he just DP'd me on reaction. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. It was like, everything I knew is literally not true about my character. Brilliant.
It's interesting, right? Because, and you know, this is why, I mean, I guess so many people rightly pushed for rollback to be standard in all fighting games. But yeah, just... like, games can radically change, especially fighting games, competitive games, which, you know, reaction times are a huge element of it, on a few frames of input delay.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. You can also watch our podcasts over on YouTube at That Blasted Salami. Have an excellent day, and we'll catch you next time.